Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
I'm Franny Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letitia.
Dean Hammond's here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Here is Letitia, and he's done it!
Find me on Twitter at MoscowMush.
And me, Ray Hunt. You can find me on at RayHunt84.
Follow the show on at Number Podcast on Twitter.
And on Facebook, Instagram, and Telegram on In That Number Podcast.
Email us with your thoughts and feelings on InThatNumberPodcast@gmail.com.
And if you like what you hear, consider sharing your support by visiting buymeacoffee.com/InThatNumber.
Let's march on in.
Welcome back to another episode of In That Number, part of the Sports Social Network. This is episode 205. Another very busy week in the world of Southampton. There's players gone, players arriving, new contracts, window has slammed shut, and a long trip to Sunderland, which ended in humiliation. Thankfully, we have a week off to gather our thoughts properly, and then we can get ready for the return to action against Leicester on the 15th. We have Tim on hand to help us prepare for this. We also have the awards for Golden Player of the Month to give out, like anybody cares now. But joining me to go through everything is the Moscow Mush, Kevin Milverton. Say hello, Kevin.
Hello, Kevin.
How are you, Kevin?
I'm all right, I think. I'm still in shock after yesterday. But, hey, you know, the weather's nice, so let's go out and do something instead.
Well, we could just sit in and record a podcast and talk about how bad we were yesterday, but yeah.
Do we have to?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. And we've got Tim Bazance joining us again. So, Tim, what a week, huh?
Yeah, it's been crazy. A lot going on. But we've got a three-day weekend here, stateside. So let's take advantage of it while it's great weather outside, even though the Saints fucking suck.
Labor Day weekend, isn't it?
That is correct. Labor Day.
Mm, yeah. Okay, so yes. Oh, and also, it was your anniversary in the week as well, so I just want to say happy birthday. Just want to say happy anniversary to you and Abby. So,
yeah, happy wooden.
Thank you very much. Yeah, happy birthday to me and the birth of our relation or our marriage. That is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Saturday Labor Day weekend, we got married 5 years ago. Well,
5 years.
On September 1st. she's listening this far, Abby, I love you. If she's not, well, I'm still going to get bonus points and for that.
Excellent. I'm going to cut that out, by the way, so she doesn't hear it. Of course I won't. Anyway, yes, the window closes, and on-field performance against Sunderland was absolutely shocking. I'm still numb from the Saturday, I guess, and I don't even know where to begin. It's just, well, Kevin, you said, you know, the Stadium of Light, or as you said yesterday, truly was the Stadium of Shite.
Yeah, they provided the stadium, we provided the shite.
Exactly. Well, I'm glad we can provide something anyway. But yeah, let's ignore Sunderland just for a bit, and we'll concentrate on the window and perhaps, I don't know, the greatest.
Perhaps throwing them all out of it.
Yeah, perhaps the greatest bit of business we've had is blocking Che. We've got Sulemana and we still have Kai Walker-Peters. And I mean, there were fears that Alcaraz would move at the start of the window, but that obviously hasn't happened. Stu stayed because I feared a return to Scotland for him. I'm reading through some of the comments on our Discord. You know, if we signed Ross Stewart and then lost Che, it would be a downgrade. So I'd have to agree with that. That didn't happen. But I mean, we'll get into the ins and outs very shortly in the ITN news. So without going too in depth, fellas, with everything I've just said, give your summer window a grade.
Seven, six, seven. I mean, if to get 10, we'd have had to have kept Prowsey. Yeah, seven. I think is fair. Bearing in mind what league we're in.
Honestly, it's really hard to put a grade on this season. At least this off season, there's so much to consider and think about. Being relegated, you know, what was needed. What do you want? I mean, all in all, I could write a thesis on, you know, point by point values. If you want to give me a grade, sure, I think seven's maybe the best bet, because everything's going to sting. You lose Ward-Prowse, you lose Tino, the two players that I think were most important in my opinion, to keep around. And then you lost players that aren't going to be as problematic. That would be Tella, for example. And you kept a few players, though, that I kind of didn't expect to be here. I didn't expect Kyle Walker-Peters to be here. And I actually also did not expect Benarc to be here. So interesting. We'll see how things go. But I guess seven is probably what I'd put together with as a grade.
Fair enough. That's cool.
It's still not too late. I mean, there are other leagues whose window is still open, so yeah, theoretically they could sign.
Yeah, the Saudi league is open.
The Belgian league is open through the 5th, so like, you Turkish. Could see Gineppo and Tall Paul go.
Hopefully. Yeah, I've been reading all the comments from the last couple of days on the Discord. I just love sitting there reading through it all, because even though I don't contribute all the time, it's nice to hear all your thoughts. So yeah, if you are interested in joining that Discord, then just get in touch and you can join in with all the game discussions and pre-game and predictions and yeah, fantasy football, all that. So yeah, as I said before, completely free to enter. So if you want to join us there, then just get in touch. And a reminder, if you're enjoying the show and you want to support us, then please visit buymeacoffee.com/innthatnumber. Okay, right. As I say, we've got a lot to go through with the window and all that. So let's hit the ITN news now then.
Here it is. This is ITN In That Number News.
Okay. As Tim said, yeah, lots to go through. Could write a thesis on it. We'll start with the arrivals then. We'll just go through them from the whole of the summer, and then we'll talk about the new recruits. Derek Abu arrived from Chelsea on a free. Josh McNamara from Man City. Got Ryan Manning from Swansea. Shea Charles from Man City. Joe Lumley from Middlesbrough. Zach Orr from Arsenal. And most recently in the week, Ross Stewart from Sunderland. The lone arrivals, of course, we've got Flynn Downs, Ryan Fraser, Mason Holgate, and on the deadline day, Taylor Harwood-Bellis from Man City. Let's start with these then, because we discussed the previous signings, so we'll just go over the new additions that happened on the week on deadline day on Friday. Taylor Harwood-Bellis arrived Friday's deadline, as I say, earliest bit of business, and it's a good one. 21-year-old centre-back from Man City. Of course, you'll know that he spent last season on loan at Burnley, 35 appearances for them and helping them to the Premier League as champions. Burnley fans seem to love him. You can see why. I mean, he's also captain England under 21s at the Euros, and of course, they won that tournament without even conceding a goal. So, yeah, both parties extremely happy with this deal. But perhaps the added bonus is the fact that we've inserted the obligation to buy if we're promoted, which would cost us a further £20 million. But if he helps us promoted, and that £20 million will seem like a steal, I think this is a good bit of business. Tim, lots of fans are putting out depth charts, and many of them are pairing THB and Jack Stevens with Bednarek and Holgate taking a seat. Would you agree with that?
Well, Stevens isn't going to be in the lineup for a long time.
No, I know, but I just meant if he was fit, everyone ready.
If you had to start it all off, yes, I think Stevens and Harwood-Bellis would probably be the starting group. One, because we were just shown that Holgate is not very good, and two is I think Harwood-Bellis is that good that was to plant Bednarek. And we see Stevens as long-term here. To me, I don't see Stevens coming back in the lineup with Harwood-Bellis coming in. I think Harwood-Bellis is going to be great, and I think Bednarek is going to be a good pairing with him. And I think they're going to stick it out, and they're not going to want to flip. But Stevens could be out for a long time, so we'll just play that game.
Kevin, I'm almost certain that after Holgate's disappointing debut, that Harwood-Bellis will be starting at home to Leicester in a fortnight.
You'd really like to fucking think so, wouldn't you?
Wow, yes. But in terms of this deal, you've got to be happy with this, right? And as I say, Burnley fans have been raving about him, which begs the question, why didn't they splash the cash to get him on a permanent? If it was that easy to insert that obligation to buy, why didn't Burnley do that in the first place?
I mean, it's the first time I've heard of this kind of clause, but it totally makes sense. Wants to be part of the promotion, wants to be playing Premier League football. We give him that step up, and he can be part of the team whilst he does that. 20 million, quite a lot, I suppose, but yeah, he did do well at Burnley last season, so yeah, maybe sounds about right.
I think with the under 21 captaincy under his belt as well, I think there's a big future for him, and Man City wouldn't, you know, give him up for anything too cheap, so I think it's pretty fair. He also said, Kev, that he wants to win. Well, I mean, you've come to the wrong place, mate. If you want to win, you should have stayed in Manchester.
Yeah, that is very true. I mean, I'm not sure that you'll find a player who ever says, I want to lose. although we did have such players, maybe that would explain yesterday a little bit more. But no, definitely, yeah, positive sign. Another stamp on the Man City loyalty card.
Yes, yeah, and up to five now, is it? One more for a freebie. Yeah,
in Haaland, he's not doing anything, is he?
Nah. And another deadline day coup was the very elusive striker that we wanted. But Ross Stewart comes in, 27-year-old Scotland international. Crikey, we've got half the Tartan army now, haven't we? You know, got Armstrong, Fraser, Adams, Stewart. Anyway, yeah, so he's signed a 3-year deal, which will take him up to 30, for a fee reported around 10 million. He's enjoyed a great spell at Sunderland and in Scotland before. He earned the nickname the Loch Ness Drogba. So that's 40 goals in 81 appearances. And the problem is keeping him fit. We all know this, not a secret. You know, he's currently recovering from an Achilles injury. And I've spoken to a few Sunderland fans, and some have been great, some not so much, although I sense more of them are bitter, which only makes me like the guy more. Tim, we've been calling for a goal scorer, and we've got one. Once we've shaken off this defeat to Sunderland and we return to Leicester, who also lost on Saturday, by the way, we've had the chance to get the new squad settled. This will be a better squad with Ross Stewart amongst its numbers, right, assuming we can keep him out of the treatment room.
Yeah, when you consider Adams being here, and then you signed Stewart, and then I'm surprised once again Mara didn't leave in all of this. And if Tall Paul does head off to Belgium, really, we have a pretty damn good squad. I'm pleasantly surprised. And I feel that between Adams and Armstrong, we can have 35 goals between those two. We can push on with that. And then Stewart, he's able to come in, rotate in, you know, play some, start some games here and there based on injury, and come in as a stub. get those goals, and if we keep them out of the treatment room, it's going to be pretty good.
And Kev, yeah, you've already ruined the new signings for me by giving them nicknames.
Rod Stewart.
Rod Stewart. There you go. He's going to be known as Rod Stewart from now on.
Do we think he's sexy?
Well, we'll find out. Are you happy with this signing?
Yeah. I think if it's a replacement for Shea, you were right to say it's a downgrade. Totally agree with that. We need to be keeping Shea. Although, again, look at yesterday's performance, who knows what for. But, yeah, having an extra option, never a bad thing, was what we've been crying out for. Still a bit strange that we've got ostensibly got five strikers. If we include Mara and Onuachu, surely we can't pass up the opportunity to get rid of one of them, because I don't think they're really going to see much game time at all.
Well, Mara played yesterday, but he didn't play up front. He played on the right, which is another question of, like, what? Why?
A lot of questions.
You say you've got these five strikers. It's probably okay if you're playing with two up top, but we haven't done that yet. So, yeah, there's a lot of options there. Departures then, of course. A lot of them have gone out. So every departure from the summer, we've had Dana Lundell, who's gone to Bolton, Kegs Chowkey's gone to Burton Albion, Mislav Orsic has gone to Trabzonspor, Ibrahim Diallo has gone to Al Duhal in Qatar, Mohamed Salisi's gone to Monaco, Tino Livramento, of course, to Newcastle, James Ward-Prowse to West Ham, Romeo Lavia to Chelsea, Nathan Teller to Bayer Leverkusen, and Kazim Alegbi has gone to Cercle Bruges. Kev, we've discussed all, including up to Teller, but Kazim Alegbi has joined Bruges, as I say, a big part of the under-21s for 4 years now. And us two, as I say, we were discussing this yesterday about our youth, and we're a team that prides ourselves on youth and giving them a pathway to the first team. But really, we've struggled integrating them and haven't done so in a number of years, really, have we?
No. Yeah, it just doesn't seem to be happening. That so-called Southampton way is leading us in a different direction. Yeah, rather than having a slightly thinner squad and bringing in youth players to fill in emergency gap roles or for rotation, haven't really been seeing that. Sam Amio, dropped into the deep end a little bit this season. Probably really the only sort of breakthrough talent, you could say, in the last couple of months. 4 years. But yeah, we seem to have a habit of getting them up to the level where they're too good for the B team and then sending them out on loan. And either they come back and they're not ready and we send them out on loan again, or as we see with Teller, they have a successful loan spell and then we flog them off. So yeah, really, they're all paths to the first team seem to be blocked, which is disappointing because you'd think that would be one of the benefits in dropping down a league, is that you get more chance to have the younger players show their talents, but not to be.
Yeah, and we thought that was going to happen with Don Ballard, of course, but he's gone out to Reading. And yeah, like you said, he dropped down a league. There's a chance for him to actually make his way through to that first team. And I suppose you could argue that, as you say, Sam Amoamayor, we got Cammy Doyle. He hasn't gone anywhere. He's, a product of that under-21 team. And he's had a few first team appearances and whether he's been on the bench and all that. And Nathan Teller, you said, but of course, that proves your point. He's been sold. Will Smallbone. I mean, that's probably the only one that's come up for the youth and is a first-team regular, has had the chance to play first-team regular, has gone out on loan, has come back, and now he's in that first team. So, again, that's probably the only one that we have had in the last few years. Had Saints remained a Premier League team, would those players get the look-in that they're getting now, though? Like Doyle and Ballard's not getting the look-in anyway. Smallbone probably would have done at some point. But then again, you would have kept the likes of Lavia and James Ward-Prowse had you not been relegated. The reason these young players have a pathway right now is because we've dropped down. That's it. And they would probably have sealed another loan because, they aren't quite consistent enough to make a Premier League run, well, in a team in the Premier League. So, yeah, it's quite worrying, isn't it, that we haven't had a youth player that's come up through the ranks like a James Ward-Prowse or someone that has had a consistent length of time in that team, and you'd struggle going back a few years to find out a really successful player that's done that.
Yeah, and we were hoping it would be Ballard this season, but again, no.
No, not yet. And what the future is for him, I don't know. But yeah, no more departures on a permanent basis, but plenty that we expect never to come back after their loan spells end, I guess. So those loans that have gone out, we've got Ollie Wright to Bath City, Nico Lawrence to Colchester United, Mateusz Lisek, Gustapa, Duja Chiletasar to Lyon. Again, I don't expect him to come back. Lewis Payne's gone to Newport County, Thierry Small to St Mirren, prime example of it. You know, you can't find a pathway into the first team. Just keep sending him out on loan. Romain Perrault to Nice. I'd like to see him back. Lianco Al-Harafa. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, that is how you pronounce it. Yeah, Al-Harafa.
Brilliant. Okay. Jack Bycroft has gone to Aldershot Town, although that's a short-term loan. Don Ballard to Reading. Armel Belakotchap to PSV. Do we expect him back? Not quite sure. Again, a lot of this depends on whether we get promoted. Matt Carson, Braintree Town. That's, again, is a short-term loan. Ryan Finnegan's gone to Shrewsbury Town and Luke Pearce to Torquay United. So a lot of players gone out on loan, like we expected. Don Ballard, then, will get his chance at first-team football playing in League One for Ruben Sayers' Reading. Very good move for him, Tim, but I'm sad to see him go, really, because I was hoping that he would get that time in the first team this season.
It makes all too much sense with Sayers being their manager, and he obviously assigning a few players and not seeing that push to it. I think it was probably pushed by him too as well. He's going to go out and do it, I think, as a League One chance in Reading, where he's going to be probably a top half team in League One. He can definitely flourish and show his stuff. So I think it's actually a good move all around for him. And I'm actually happy with how that ended up.
Yeah, it's definitely good for him. Armel Belakotchap, the saga is over, and he's gone to PSV until the end of the season.
I wouldn't say that saga's over. I think we just kick that can down the road a little bit.
Well, actually, we're on that then. It was obvious that he was going to be one of the players that went. He hasn't actually gone. I don't think he's going to come back. I don't think there's... Whether we get promoted or not, I don't think he's ever going to play for Saints again. So that's why I say the saga's over.
Yeah, but we should have moved him on. I mean, there was a lot of interest from Bundesliga clubs, and we were looking at around 20 million for him. So for him just to go out on loan, I think that's a big disappointment for me.
You think that's a mistake? They should have just been cashing in on him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, take a million or two discount and, you know, sell them for 18 million instead. But, you know, then that problem's solved. A lot of things can happen in a year or a season. What if he's an absolute disaster at PSV? He's not going to be worth 20 million this time next season. What if he picks up an injury? That's just going to be an extra problem that now we've got to deal with. Different club.
So you're disappointed with that. And you're also disappointed with Onuachu still being here.
Yeah, kind of am, yeah. No, kind of am. I'm definitely am. Onuachu is useless.
Tim, 12 players departed, 8 new faces in. The end of last season was just awful. I mean, looking at our squad and knowing it would be ripped apart. Ward-Prowse, Lavia, Tino, Teller, Salisu, key players. We've lost those. But we've made a mint in return. And we've managed to keep Che, Alcaraz, Sulemana, Kyle Walker-Peters. It has been a crazy 4 months and we're facing uncertainty, but it's over now a little bit. Would you admit that it wasn't as bad as you first feared at the end of May?
It's bad because there's the top heavy losses of Tino and Ward-Prowse. So, you know, you have the sentimental value too on top of everything else when it comes to the transfers. After that, though, it could have been a lot worse. And I think that I think Shea Charles is going to be a great player in whatever role. I really do think that defensive midfield, I think he's going to work his way and he's going to keep himself in. I think Harwood Bellith, as somebody who's watched Burnley a bunch of times, I watched a couple of the highlights for him at the U21s, and to be able to snag the captain from the Euro from that winning team, that's fantastic. And then, you know, when you look at it on surface level, you've got Fraser who...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
you know, he was kind of a shithead in previous stints at different places, but could definitely pick himself up. Holgate, in theory, would have, you know, was a solid signing. But then, you know, we maximized the fee that we got for Lavia. Tella got probably more than I anticipated if he was going to sign for Burnley. And, you know, we definitely left. There's definitely some other people that left that I didn't expect us to be able to get off the books. So to me, you know, like that 7-8 threshold, it could have been worse. It could be a lot better.
Yeah. And Kev, playing devil's advocate a bit here, I know because of the mood you're in, and rightly so, £190 million in Sport Republic's pocket and a measly £10 million out, just to appease the fans here, and then we don't replace Teller despite promising it will happen, and no, Sulemana or Fraser aren't that, and I think I read somewhere that we made the second most profit in Europe behind Barcelona. That you look at it like that and you think, right, this
I seen that we made more profit than Barcelona.
Okay, well, that just goes to show, doesn't it? I mean, you make 190 million and you're spending 10 million at Sport Republic. I don't know, are we being ignorant or arrogant, rather, than thinking that you can sell your best players, not replace them with top quality ones, and still expect to get promoted?
Time will tell, I suppose. Yeah, I mean, it does feel like we're being kind of carpet bagged at the moment, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We're having all our best assets sold and not replacing them with players of, you know, even a similar quality. Yeah, again, we have to remember we're not having to compete in the Premier League, we're having to compete in the Championship. But if you want to win the league, you need to have players of Premier League quality. What we've seen this season is the sort of thing that you can only really do once. It's like privatizing state property, you know, once they're sold, once they're gone. You can't do it again. So it's not a source of income. Should soften the blow of, you know, the gulf in finances that we have. But yeah, if we're in the Championship for another season, next season, that's going to make it even more difficult going forward.
Well, we've got no more assets to sell.
Exactly. That gap's going to get wider. So we're going to have to end up losing, you know, our highest paid players or our highest valued players. I wouldn't see Carl Walker-Peters sticking around for a second season in the Championship, and there's probably a few other players that you could lump in there as well.
You've also got another window in January to contend with as well, but let's put that to bed for now. But it's hard to believe that there is more news around the club without including the window and that Sunderland result, but there are some positives. Will Smallbone, he's got a new contract, new deal, new three-year deal, so that's great news. And he marked his new deal with a return to the 11 after recovering. Wow. Amazing that was set, you know, for months out. But as soon as the window nears an end, you know, he's got a new deal and he's fit enough to start. So I'm not saying anything. But yeah, that's a good bit of news, fellas. Yeah, we've got to be happy with that, because there was talk about him going back to the Premier League on a permanent transfer at the start of the window. But that's, you know, that's another one that we're glad to put behind us and move on.
Yeah, it's good to see that he hasn't sprained his signing hand, so yeah, that's good. Yeah, I mean, a lot of competition for that position now, so it's going to be interesting to see who comes out.
Yeah, and to Jack Stevens, the injury not as bad as we first feared. Russell Martin stated, sorry, that we should fear the worst, but he's, you know, said that he could miss 7 or 8 games now, so, which is brilliant, of course, and could definitely use that experience and leadership back there, especially after Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. But that puts us to the end of October anyways. And you've got Harwood Bowles, who's going to come in and solidify that back line and going to be the top tier. And are you going to drop Bednarik if he doesn't get injured? But say, for example, we come in and actually start solidifying everything, and you know, we have, you know, in 3 of the 8 games or 4 of the 8 games, we have shutouts and the rest of them are just one goal, you know, one goals apiece. I'm looking optimistic here. I think he's the best signing that we've had all offseason. So I really don't see Stevens getting back in unless there's a massive injury or Bednarik completely falls off.
That won't be too hard to believe, to be honest, after Saturday. Nico Lawrence, injured in duty for Colchester, an ankle injury which could see him miss months rather than weeks. Player and goal of the month for August. We'll start with player of the month. Kevin, who were the candidates?
Adam Armstrong, Che Adams, Will Smallbone, and Sam Amiar.
No surprise here. The whopping 90% of the votes deservedly goes to Adam Armstrong. So our first player of the month goes to Adam Armstrong. Completely deserved it. Started very, very well. Captained the side as well on Saturday. Maybe that was the problem. But yes, and goal of the month. The candidates for goal of the month, Kevin?
So it's Alcaraz's goal, consolation goal against Gillingham. Adam's goal against Norwich City, Taylor's goal against Plymouth Argyle, and Adam Armstrong's against Queen Park Rangers.
Yeah, a little bit closer this one. And Instagram actually were going with Taylor, and Twitter was going with Adam Armstrong. But you calculate it all, put it all together, we do have a winner, and it's Adam Armstrong again, who scoops both player and goal of the month for August. That goal against QPR, the winning goal against QPR. So yeah. There we go. August done and dusted, and we move on to September, which hasn't started very well.
but I think isn't that that must be the biggest margin we've seen for a player of the month. That was absolutely incredible.
Under 21s, Fulham on Friday night, Friday the 1st, at Motspur Park, humbled 5-1. Jay Robinson actually opened the scoring, and then we faced a late onslaught. Three goals in the final 2 minutes compounded the misery. And without Dom Ballard to put the ball in the net, I think things could be very difficult for the under-21s this year. They slipped to 22nd in the table. So that is not good.
What is it with Southampton teams this weekend and conceding five goals? Because Scholing got beaten 5-1, and I think they were 1-0 up as well.
Well, the women aren't.
FA Cup match.
Their next match actually is a men's senior cup game against Cowes, but they return to Premier League 2 action against West Ham at Rush Green. West Ham actually have won 3 out of 4, so that's not looking good. Fulham, who just beat us 5-1, by the way, are at the top of the league with 4 wins out of 4. So, yeah, very good side, Fulham and West Ham. The women, at least the women haven't let us down this week, eh? Oh, well. Not yet, but they're playing right now against Blackburn Rovers at St Mary's, and it's actually half time at the moment, and it's 0-0. But last Sunday, they opened up with a brilliant 4-1 win after going 1-0 down. Casey Wilkinson, Sophia Farah, Ella Morris, and Molly Pike with the goals. Molly Pike with a debut goal, so good start to their season. And as I say, they're 0-0 at the moment. Right, OK, we'll go into this dreadful, dreadful game against Sunderland. So our undefeated start to the season comes crashing down, doesn't it, with an abysmal 5-0 defeat at the Stadium of Light. Defensively, we just fell apart. Individuals, too, weren't good enough. Collectively, we were shambolic, just torn to shreds, really. And Martin made those four changes to the side that really squeaked a victory over QPR. Holgate and Downs handed their first starts. Mara starting out wide, and of course Smallbone comes in. Kevin, let's start with that 11 then. On paper, I don't know, it's not too bad, but Mara on the right, no Fraser after a promising cameo against QPR. And are we still seeing an unsettled Che? I mean, you know, he's still here. Why not start him?
It's fucking weird, to be honest. I mean, I was given a very familiar sense of shock when the team sheet came out. And, a very familiar sense of shock when we had that disastrous match as well. So much for turning a new leaf under Russell Martin, because, we've got these same problems and same bugbears. We've got a huge squad still, even though we've seen some senior players go. We've got those four loan deals in, signed enough players. Our squad's still, in my opinion, massive. So how you can be playing players out of position when we've got a surfeit of wide players? Why Adam Armstrong is ostensibly the lone striker when we know that doesn't work, and we've got other options as well. I would rather have Mara in that position than Armstrong. Just very weird. And the midfield as well. Smallbone, Downs, and Stu.
Stu could have played that Mara role.
Yeah, and have Armstrong sit deeper. But then that leaves basically Downs and Smallbone as the sort of double pivot. Do you really need that?
No, but then Sunderland? You could always put Alcaraz in there as well.
I think Alcaraz and Charles being missing, that kind of threw me a bit.
I mean, at this point, defensively, I think we should just go with Shay Charles at the back because the others aren't up to it. So, I mean, when he came on...
We didn't know that, though, did we?
No, of course we didn't. But I say this is all in hindsight, right? And at the point that the team sheets were out, hopes were still high, and I thought it was a good window. And we've still had that undefeated start, the moment Russell Martin can do no wrong, no reason to doubt his decisions. But now that honeymoon period is over, and you can look back at it in hindsight and think, wow, you know, what was he doing there?
I mean, the 11 seemed right. I think that I would love to see Adam starting. I think that we should have put pressure on their back line a lot more than we did, because I think Adams is the right person to do that, especially with a team when they were sitting back like every other team was doing. But outside of 09, who's he's a fan favorite there at Sunderland, nobody looked completely amazing. Rather, they just played and meshed well. So it was a combination of their team just doing everything right and our team doing everything wrong. Could you put out a different 11? Yeah, maybe. I think maybe you could have argued that Downs shouldn't have started and Charles could have been that six, and then Smallbone and, you know, taking a look at who's going to be that, who's going to be in that 10 role. So there is a little bit of disconnect. I think our midfield definitely needs some fine tuning. But, arguably, yes, it was fine, but I could see any argument otherwise.
Yeah, I don't think any of us expected Smallbone to start, did they? And probably if he wasn't starting, then Shay Charles would have been in there. Although, say, if you don't want to go too defensive, then put Alcaraz in there. But Glenn Downs played well when he came on against QPR. Obviously, he came on for the injured... Was it Jack Stevens he came on for? Did they change it up a bit then? I can't remember. Who did he come
on
for?
They switched it up with Stevens injured.
Yeah, and I thought he played well. So putting him in the start, it wasn't my concern. I just thought, yeah, okay, I think he's earned that. I did expect to see Ryan Fraser start because, again, he come on and changed the game against QPR, created a few things. But, yeah, I guess what I want to know from both of you is that were Sunderland, were they just that good, Kev, or were we that bad?
Both. I mean, you don't get a scoreline like that in this. The opposition... is very good and we're very bad.
That's a concern, isn't it? If we are going to carry on like that, if it's not just a one-off, if that's what we are, then that's my concern with the defeat, is this style. I mean, yes, we've started well, so we're not going to... I don't want to panic, but we are so easy to score against and we can be beat by absolutely anyone. We do have goals in us normally. But with a defeat like this so early in the season, it's a blueprint for everyone, isn't it? We are going to face better teams. And have we ignored what the MK Dons fans and Swansea fans have said? That, you know, we're going to concede a lot of goals playing this way. But we're not Barcelona. We can't play this way and win every week. They've said we're going to concede a lot of goals. And this style, his style, is not suitable on our budget, or at least the budget that we've spent anyway, in this league. It hasn't taken long, really, for the cracks to appear.
I think Sunderland just rolled crits, basically, in a D20 dice. They rolled and hit 20. And for us, when it comes up against their attack, we just completely faltered. And they found, I think it was a combination of setup, timing, luck, and an overall skill. I think I don't say we're out of our depths, but hopefully it was a really humbling experience for us to take back and take forward into the next few games.
Yeah, and Kev, are you concerned with this, with Martin's style and the budget that we've spent in this league? Do you think it can work?
I'm not panicking because my judgment was very, very much reserved. I wasn't getting too overexcited about team, and I think the results have been a little bit better than I expected, but not massively. That EFL Cup match against Gillingham, we like to blame the players there, but I think that's on Russell Martin too. But I don't think it's fair to say that it can't be done. This style can't be done on this budget with these players in this league, because Russell Martin's only here because he's succeeded at Swansea. Playing that style of football.
But we've conceded goals from it. We've conceded too many goals from the style.
When he came in, that's what Swansea fans were saying, that you're going to score a lot of goals, but you will concede a lot of goals. And we were kind of fine with that. We don't have the real defensive prowess to shithouse games. 1-0, So yeah, why not go for a style of play that's more exciting but risky? You know, that sounded good to us, sounded good to the board. But results like these, yeah, they weren't in the plan at all, were they?
No, and do we expect to see him change his approach?
I think he has to. I think he has to decide on what his best 11 is, find that and stick to it where he can.
Do you see a formation change?
Possibly. I mean, he has played a few different formations.
Well, he played a lot of three at the back, didn't he? And used Manning as a wing back on the left, which works a little bit better for him, because from what I've seen of him defensively, I think he's been poor. I think he's got a mistake in him. I mean, every game he's made a mistake, and it's usually led to a goal. But going forward, I mean, as I say, we saw what he did last week. He got two assists, didn't he, for our goals. So he can go forward. Whether that's an option, I don't know. But again, we don't like playing three centre-backs, do we? It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
But having
time
said
and time
that...
again, it managers wasn't... have tried it and failed.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't just the system, though. It wasn't just his tactics that let us down, because there was some really, really bad individual play. Obviously, you can blame the Holgate when he gave the ball away. This is what Russell Martin wants to do. He wants the players to play the ball, move it out, and there's going to be mistakes that are made. And when they do make mistakes like that, they're going to be costly. But some of the play, I mean, you listen to his post-match comments, you can't blame the manager for the way that those players just didn't handle the ball. The way that they didn't track back, that's not on the manager. That's on the player's desire. And I don't know whether this is a massive, massive problem, whether we've got the wrong sort of players in for this style of play. But there's only so much the manager can do. And this is the sort of thing that he's going to take a lot of flack because of the way that he likes to play. But if the players aren't good enough,
then what do we do?
I've got no idea. I don't know whether we can change it up, whether he will. I don't know. Like, I think it comes back to what you just said then. He needs to find his best 11, doesn't he?
I don't see him changing formation.
No.
I think
it happening, no.
Yeah, I think he might change the midfield lineup, and he might tweak the... There might be, I'd say, three changes. Predicting changes. I think Howard Bell will come in for Holgate. Then you've got, I think it'll be Charles Smallbone and Adam Armstrong. And then pick your wingers, maybe Adozie and Fraser, or maybe even Sulemana if we can get him healed up and be back. But he may not be good enough for a start. And Adams up top, because you'll hear in my preview that it'll be a interesting matchup going up against Leicester.
It certainly will be. Yeah. And let's discuss the elephant in the room, Gavin Bazunu. I know people are going to say that, you know, he's young, he will be great, but how long can we hang on to this? And when should we say that enough is enough and we should give up? Because, well, I mean, I guess we can't, because we're stuck with him now. But admit that we don't have the time to be dealing with a project at this stage. And
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I don't know. This team is promotion hopefuls. We still are. And we need a stable goalkeeper. There's a lot of things that he doesn't do well. I mean, he doesn't parry the ball away particularly well. Never seems to be able to hold on to the ball. He doesn't seem to be able to deal with long-range shots. Seems to see it too late. He's beaten at his near post where he was for the third goal. And I've heard people saying that, you know, he should have come off of his line for the first one, possibly. The fourth, he was just let down by his back line after he made a good save. And yeah, he has made some great saves, but in the time that he's been here, his negatives are far outweighing his positives for me.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you're calling him the elephant in the room. I mean, not because of his size, obviously, but possibly because of his pace. I mean, we talked about it last week or the week before, that it came up in the fans forum, and yeah, he was kind of out of character even in his defence. He was, you know, getting a little bit aggressive. So there's no conversation around the goalkeeper. We've got a first choice keeper, and then we see a performance like that. It's not all on him. Not all five goals are because of him. No. But, you know, you only ever concede a goal because there are some weak links in the chain. And if all of the links in the chain are weak, if we're not creating anything, if we're going to be sloppy in possession in midfield, if we're going to be playing high line and not tracking back, if we're not going to be marking players, then that gives the keeper a lot to deal with. And yeah, Baza, he can't handle it, can he?
No, it doesn't appear to be.
I think there's two things. One, when he made those comments at the fan forum, he publicly wanted to support him because, well, goalies are obviously the most mental. And so if you're not all in on your goal, on your keeper, it can definitely be a problem when it comes to, you know, quality of play overall. So I truly believe that Martin believed in him, and I believe that they think he can be better. But I want to talk about what is the elephant in the room with him, and that is we constantly keep talking about him.
Because yeah, there's a reason for that, because he keeps
there's like these small mistakes or these small things. Well, like, oh, he got caught out, or like you can find the reasoning for all the goals. But he's a constant part of the conversation. And when he's a constant part of the conversation, it's not just a one-off here. It's not just this here and there. It can be a big problem. And to me, I don't see this working out really well in the long run. And if we're going to win, get promoted, it could be not necessarily in spite of him, but because not because of him. It's going to have to be others who are going to be stepping up. And my last hope, and which I'm extremely positive on Harwood Bellis from everything that I've seen, is him being able to step up and be that last little effort. Because if we had, and we're like, oh, we're letting all these goals in, and you see that it could be the defense that could be the problem. Well, I think he's the best defender that we'll have on the team. And if he's able to be the best defense, we'll see what Bazunu can do from there. And if we don't, if Harwood Bellis is the quality that we say, and Bazunu still lets in the goals, we can easily quantify and qualify that he's the problem, and we'll need an upgrade at some point from him.
Yeah, and we have seen in the past as well that he does perform better when he's got a better back line in front of him. Our back line needs to take responsibility for, like Kev said, if there's more than one weak link, then it's going to be a problem. He's not been helped out by his defenders. He certainly wasn't helped out on Saturday, especially for that fourth goal, which was awful all round. But yeah, I just think he's a solid, well, I say solid, he's a backup a goalkeeper right now. He's someone that you want to keep hanging around because he's young, he's got a lot of potential. But if you're looking to go up in the league, you need someone that's going to be, we need a Fraser Forster. We need someone that's stable and a little bit more experienced, I think. And I just don't think that Bazunu is the right, he's at the right place in his career for the right club at the moment. It's also important to point out that it isn't just Bazunu, and the entire back line needs to wake up. Awful debut for Mason Holgate, and replaced by Charles after the hour. He gave the ball away countless times, one of which resulted in their second. Bednarik was terrible as well. Ryan Manning, and I've said before, you know, he hasn't been very good defensively. This loss wasn't just because of Bazunu. The back five was about as useless as a condom machine in the Vatican.
Ouch. That's bad.
But yeah, the one thing I will say on this is that the result happened at the start of the season. And if we needed a wake-up call, this was it. That, you know, there's an international break. And I hope Russell Martin takes a look at everything and realises that things need to change. And we've got the international break to wallow The players are just going to dust themselves off and go again, aren't they? But Russell Martin's going to have this hanging over his head. You know, his era of doing no wrong is gone, and the fans will demand a response, and he has to change things. And we haven't been great, even in the wins that we've had. Papered over the cracks somewhat and shrugged it off because we're picking up points. But defensively, we were poor against Wednesday. We were poor against Norwich, against QPR. QPR had their chances to come away with a win. I mean, they hit the bar right at the end, didn't they, when it was 1-1. They just weren't lethal enough. I don't think this is just a one-off. That's my worry. And I want to ask you, Kev, do we just chalk this off as a bad day and not panic? Has Russell Martin been figured out?
Sunderland certainly did.
Exactly. That's one. I mean, if you have, you know, better players, no disrespect to QPR, if you have more lethal players, then yeah, that would have been another one.
Yeah, true. Hey, you know, it's a long season. We'll see how we do. But yeah, he's definitely got a lot to adapt.
Everybody gets one. You know, the Spider-Man meme, everybody gets one. Well, this is it. Russell Martin is literally no different than he was with Swansea last year, except he just has better players. So the ridicules that you get for the high level possession for possession's sake, less clinicalness, you're going to lose against teams that are going to beat you on the counter. And then sometimes you're going to look like your prime Barcelona. And some games I think we're going to see down the road against, I don't know, it's just going to randomly show up against Watford or, you know, whatever, or any random, you know, pick whatever the team next time. We're going to look like absolutely amazing and things are going to be over the moon and we're going to look good. To me, I think that everybody knows how to play against us. It's just on us to beat them at and with our strengths.
Should we just say that this is a league where we're likely to see ups and downs, you're going to see a lot of twists, and this is just championship football, isn't it?
This is just championship football. I mean, this is, you're literally, you can, which is why I was like, you can lose to anybody at any point in time, and you can beat the snot out of anybody at any point in time. But it's the greatest league in the world.
It's just the manner of this defeat, Tim.
Yes.
You know, I know at this stage last season, Burnley were worse off, which is kind of a hope, but you aren't going to win every week. I accept that. But you don't expect to lose 5-0 like that. You know, we're shipping too many goals and it is a problem. And yeah, we're more open at the back than a whore on a Saturday night. Kevin, have you got any stats? Do I want to hear these?
Probably not. But yeah, let's do it anyway. yeah, still in charge of possession at 68%.
That is absolutely awful. I mean, I've been saying that all season. I mean, what is the point of all the passing and tip-tap possession if you don't do anything with it? That's pathetic. That is awful. Was it 32% possession and you win 5-0?
Yeah.
That's a breeze for any team, isn't it? I mean, you can have the ball, but we know you're not going to do anything with it.
Yeah, interesting stat is that Bazunu had 5 saves that he made. 3 of them he parried into danger.
Wow.
We'll look at the possession stats. Yeah, 764 touches, 88% pass completion. So I was saying 497 out of 567. Yeah, I don't have a times G, do you?
Call it a times G. Yeah, I do. Would you like to hazard a guess?
I reckon theirs is probably around the 3 mark, and ours is probably going to be just below 1.
They're going to have, let's say, 2.8, and we're going to have 1.2.
Oh, okay. Actually, Sunderland had 1.8. So if Sunderland had 1.8, so what, they scored 5 goals from 10 shots on target, Kev. 1.8. And ours was 0.9. So all that possession, you don't create anything with it. Just so poor. Awful. Awful game to watch. But yeah, Russell Martin then, I'll go on to his comments. He said, to start the game so poorly makes it difficult, but our reaction to the disappointment or to defend in the final third, all the stuff we have worked on wasn't good enough. Sunderland just fought more. They came out of every single duel with the ball pretty much and had much more willingness than us to run when out of possession. So you can't teach that. You can't manage that, can you? That's all on the players. So I get that. I think the 5th goal sums us up. We let the guy do 3 turns in our half with no contact at all. He crosses it and they score. I don't think that happens if one of our players does that. I'm pretty sure one of our players ends up on the floor from a Sunderland player. I told the players that we need to make sure that this is a hugely important day for us in terms of understanding what the championship is all about. It's important for me not to overreact with all the hurt. Your ego is dented and when you get beat and it's on the TV. Well, should get used to Saints losing on the TV. That's what happens. That's what we do. And actually, the Leicester game's on TV as well. So, woohoo.
Who was the kid who did like those three little turns? They were completely taking the piss at that point, weren't they?
Well, they could, couldn't they?
I mean, that's the thing. It was ridiculous. They were literally running circles around us.
Literally.
They were.
I know.
And they could do pretty much what they wanted. You said 10 shots on target. I didn't give us the number of shots. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
18 shots, 10 on target.
Yeah, you said that Bazunu made five saves, and yeah, so they scored five, so 10 shots on target. So yeah, that was it. But I know this is going to be difficult. Man of the match, who wants to be brave?
I'll take it.
Go on, Tim.
Okay, so everybody fucking sucked. It was shit. It was terrible. You know, look at all through. You can highlight. It's basically a tragedy in the scope of the entire setup. So what are the silver linings? What are the the chances to say, oh, you know, what actually looked good? Well, there's only one player that without, you know, for the silver lining to me was I'm going to take Sekou Mara because I feel like he was involved in that he played out of position and put in a shift, but he acted like he was trying. Whether or not he was successful, that's a different part. But to me, I felt that between the transfer drama, him playing out of position and going out and not look like he was just being complete ass, I have to give it to him just by default.
Okay, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. I mean, I'm going to give it to Shay Charles because he had 27 minutes, and I don't want to give it to any of the starters because, as you said, no one deserved it. He had two headers, two shots, two headers, yeah, and, okay, they should have hit the target. He was the closest thing to not failing, so I just think, and I said, I think at this point we should just use him as that centre-back because why not?
The more I think about it, like every player that I've been tempted to give it to watching back the highlights, I've just seen some just horrific defending, horrific play, just horrific everything. I've tried thinking about it logically, so I've decided to go with a random number generator. The number it's come up with is number 26, and that's Ryan Fraser, so he gets that from me.
Okay.
Yeah, not by his own merit, but just by pure random luck.
Player ratings results from Pundit Games. So you've all submitted your this is going to be interesting. I was really, really interested to see this and to hear what you guys have had to say following this shocker. I'll read the player ratings out first. Incidentally, Tim, your man of the match was rated the second worst player with a 2.95. Holgate was last, by the way, with 1.14. That's no surprise.
Yeah, I expected that, actually. And I didn't give it because I think his quality of play was unmatched. I think he's an easy... He's an easy...
Scapegoat.
What's the term? Scapegoat. Thank you.
Yeah,
I think he's an easy scapegoat for it.
I do get that.
I don't think... You know, you don't hear about him pouting or trying to do different things. I think he's out there and... You know, whether it's subpar.
Yeah, it's not his fault that he was out of position, right? It was just thrown off.
Yeah. Well, people are given the lower quality. But I think Shay Charles is a great shout because he had those two chances. I think he actually solidified things when he came in.
Mm.
And I was super surprised that he straight subbed Holgate for Charles, who's been filling in as center back now.
Yep.
Because that is one way to piss off a player, because now he's on loan and now he's just going to sit around and he's not going to play. And is he going to have the pouty mood where he's not going to care? I think that's going to be what's happening, but that's okay because Harwood Bellis is going to come in and he's going to be amazing. And it's going to be a steal at £20 million when we get promoted.
Yeah, I'm going to show you how it's done. This is how you do it. I don't think it's going to be the last we see of Mason Holgate, by the way. I do think we're going to see him again. Yeah, one bad game and that's it. You're on loan and that could end it. Yeah, okay. So I'll read out the top five then, the player ratings. We got Downs fifth with 4.05. How can you be fifth with 4.05? Awful. Then we've got Ryan Fraser at 4.14. Third is Kyle Walker-Peters with 4.23. Oh, Jesus. Adam Armstrong second with 4.45. And Shea Charles actually tops it with 4.55. So, yeah, there's your responses. Any questions on any of them? Does anyone want to know where anybody else was?
Let's talk Bazunu, since we've made a big deal about him.
Okay, so Holgate was worst with 1.14. Sekou Mara was second to last with 2.95, and then Bazunu at 3.14, followed by Manning, Bednarik, Aribo, Adams, Stu Armstrong, middle of the road.
Fair enough.
Small bone. Flynn Downs being that high up, that's a bit of a surprise. Kyle Walker-Peters being third with, you know, in part of the back line that conceded five. Weird one. But it was always going to be difficult, wasn't it, this one? I've got some comments, so I'll start with the first one. Absolute shite at the Stadium of Light. Nice. Next person, awful performance, mentally not there, not sharp, naive and entitled. The third comment I'm going to read is, I don't think we could have played any worse, to be honest. Awful game from start to finish. Every player apart from Kyle Walker-Peters wasn't bothered. Urgent wake-up call that we needed to address throughout the international break. Another comment here, which is brilliant, really, just says shit. So yeah, I like that. Another one just says sloppy. There's a 300-character limit on this form. Pretend I wrote shit 60 times to max out the limit, because that is what we were.
If you skip the space, you can get it 75 times, because I think that is actually even more appropriate.
So you want me to say shit 75 times or 60 times? Yeah.
Should we reserve that for another 9-0?
Yeah. Although, having said that, you listen to this back again, I reckon we've probably said shit collectively more than 60 times. So,
yeah. Shit.
Yeah. Next, concentration was all over the place. I think the squad today lacked some guts. Holgate was shocking. Embarrassing, not good enough. Worse than the dross we saw last year. Ooh, dare we go back to that? Oh, I don't know. No running, no tracking, no attempt to make tackles. Poor defensive positioning, poor positioning from the goalkeeper. Lackluster, no effort. Players thinking they are better than they are. Crap. And the last one is absolute dross. So yeah, have you got anything to say about that, guys?
Holy concur.
Thanks again from everyone who's submitted their player ratings and given a little comment. It was I love reading them out. So yeah, good or bad. Yeah, so after the international break we have Leicester. It's a Friday night, Friday the 15th of September, 8 o'clock kickoff under the lights at St Mary's, and again that is on Sky. Tim, what's their nickname?
Lachester. The Foxes.
The Foxes. Kev, what's your nickname for the Foxes?
The Tie Brides.
Okay.
In ode to Ted Lasso there, Lachester or Leicester City. Honestly, the biggest upset in sports history, I don't think you can quantify in any sport ever. Because when you have a single knockout tournament like the NCAA tournament or the FA Cup even is an even good example. When you have 38 games over an entire season and where they were at, unbelievable what they were able to do. And that is the biggest upset in sports history. So 2015, 2016, and then they happened to win in the FA Cup in 2021. So they had a great run alongside us in the Premier League, since we just both got relegated at the same time, albeit they were promoted in the 2014-15 season, where we were there a few years earlier.
2012-13, we went up.
Yes. Yeah. So last year, what happened? Well, they got relegated too, but it was the last game of the season, and ultimately Brendan Rodgers fucked their season. So they couldn't recover from it, and you know, they just couldn't push past it, and it was unfortunate. So this season, I mean, you look at it, everyone's saying, oh, they might be in FFP restrictions or what's going on. But, I mean, they got to be all three of us, Leicester, Leeds, and...
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. And us, we have to be considered the promotion favorites, and they were the betting favorites to go back up. Not a betting guy, but usually those odds make a huge give a good understanding of what's going on. And every relegated team should be, in theory, but that's just the way to say that they're supposedly the best team going into the championship season. So last few times we start with the incomings, but I wanted to talk about the outgoings first, as they're more familiar to us and they're really, really big names. The three ones that you're going to hit are James Maddison, Harvey Barnes, and Yuri Tielemans. So between those three, I mean, you've got some heavy hitters. Maddison is doing fantastic for Spurs. Barnes, while riding the bench for Newcastle, is a great depth piece and will be very good for them, especially as they go into their Champions League season. And Yuri Tielemans was, he was kind of a stanchable and kind of a shithead in the last season, but had some massive quality and is now playing for Villa, which coincidentally are getting spanked 3-0 by Liverpool at the moment. But take a look. There's some less than key, but still somewhat important players that they lost. Soyuncu, center back. Christensen's on loan. He's out. Boubacar Soumaré. Timothy Castagne left the last day of the window. And then most of all, and most importantly, fan favorite, amazing player, former Saints player, Ryan Bertrand. New manager, Enzo Marseca. Well, he's the Man City product. And what's crazy to think about is, you know, we've been stealing all the academy players from Manchester City, but we didn't take their manager. Leicester did. He was their U21 manager. And, you know, we've got, I mean, we could have the last few years, would we sign 5-6 players at this point? It's completely crazy to think about, but I would have thought we would have just signed Marseca. That would have made sense. Just keep being the feeder team for Man City. Well, they thought Russell Martin was the better choice. So, you know, what are their incomings? The two, I want to say, quote unquote, famous ones, because they are the Premier League player, the Premier League signing that they had. That was Harry Winks from Spurs, who started in the Champions League final, and Connor Cody at center back, who actually really isn't even played this season. So what's some other big names that they've signed, and by big names are going to be quality or supposed quality. Mavidi from Toulouse. Hermansson, who, you know, you'd think Danny Ward and Iverson and goal, they would have been fine and somebody would have stepped up. And they're like, no, let's just sign a goalkeeper. And he's been the starter ever since. He's actually looking really, really good, unfortunately. Cesar Casadei. He's on loan from Chelsea this year. And then last but not least is Tom Cannon, who had 9 goals for Preston last year in the championship, on loan from Everton, which they signed on a permanent. So who are their key players? So let's go with Dewsbury Hall. He's their, I won't say their talisman, but he has really stepped up and he's going to be a very, very, very good player. Now, I don't think he's ever going to be, he's not going to peak at the way Maddison did, as he plays a little bit more, not as attacking as a player, but it's still, when it comes to the team and how they're going to work through the center midfield, it's going to be him. Iheanacho, they kept him around, which I think that's a great, it's the equivalent of us keeping Adams around, but I think he's a little bit better of a player. Ricardo Pereira, who, while they've had an injury history for him, if he's able to stay fit, is going to be absolutely bombing down the right wing for him, and he can even play on both sides. And then last but not least is, look at their center back pairing. Wout Faes and former Southampton player Vestergaard has started Yannick has started every game for them. So just most recently, they lost the whole city, and who's actually a very improved team so far and looking really good. They're third in the table, 4 wins. This is their first loss, and so no one's outside of Preston, who's now still undefeated, is the last team that is. So tactics, what are we looking at? Marseca's got a 4-3-3 out of possession, 3-4-3 with possession. They're going to play a high up the pitch. They're going to high. They're really just going to be they're looking good. And I think outside of us, they're going to have the most possession in their games cumulatively for the entire season. So take a look at their heat maps. Against Hull City, they had 68% possession, and they're going to continually do that. And I'm actually super curious as to how the matchup will be us versus them. So take a look. Everything starts with their center backs. And then works through Dewsbury Hall, Winks, Pereira is big. And we want to look at what Vestergaard's faults being 6'6", 6'7", but remember him pinging balls from crossfield. That is what he has, and that's what's they're gonna look to do from him to Pereira, who's just gonna bomb down the right. That is the scariest thing that I will see, and take a look out for that, because when you have that's just super dangerous. I think they've solidified the back in terms of their strengths, and they kept Iñárritu, which is great. Weaknesses, I haven't really been able to figure it out. When it came to Hull City,
Yannick Vestergaard, he's a massive weakness.
He's massive, literally and figuratively. Yes, he's slow, but in the championship level, I think that's fine. There aren't too many players who can really beat him or are going to be able to have the quality plus beating him around.
You can't see Adam Armstrong causing him any problems, can you?
I think it would be funny to see him up against Sulemana, and I think Sulemana would just within half a second break him. It would be funny.
Adozie, Sam Amamayar, they'd all have a go at him.
I think that'd be all fun. They only lost to Hull because they couldn't finish. They had tons and tons of shots, but they just didn't have the clinical finishing. The Liam Delap scored, and they just sat back for the second half, and they couldn't break them down. And one of their most recent signings, Yunus Akgün, I didn't mention him. He didn't look really good, and it was his first start, so they yanked him pretty quickly, and which I think gave them less percentage chance, since he was there as a starter, to not be successful. So I think you see Mavidi come in that right wing position. What is really scary is Manning up against Pereira because of those long balls that Vestergaard is going to push. And we saw Manning slip that one time, and the goal was already scored. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves. Lots of things to consider. Lots of things to think about.
I'm going first on the score prediction then. So I'm going to I was undecided. I was just going to actually listen to your preview and see what you had to say, and then make a decision on it. I don't think we're going to win. I'm just too focused on the loss from Sunderland. And it's interesting to see their possession based football in ours. And like you said, it's going to be a really, really good matchup to see who has. This is going to be a battle of possession, isn't it, really? And if they've got the quality to be able to finish us, have we got the quality to finish them? I think this has got draw written all over it, and I think it's going to be a good draw. I think it's going to be 2-2. Kevin, you're next.
Oh, shit. I was going to predict a Desmond, but...
Oh, were you? Oh.
Yeah, don't. It's going to be 2-1.
Okay, to who?
I don't know. Whatever Tim doesn't say. is Tim going to predict the Saints win Leicester 2-1?
2-1 Leicester. 2-1. Away win.
1-2 Leicester. Yeah.
Okay, Tim, over to you.
The joy and the detriment of the championship is that anybody can beat anybody at any point in time. And to me, this is going to be a real fire versus fire, a strength versus strength matchup. And what are we going to see? What's going to happen? I think it's going to be a really good game. I think we're going to look better than we probably actually are overall quality. And I'm going to go out and be bold. I'm going to say we're going to get our first clean sheet, and it's going to be 1-0 win.
You are fucking crazy, Tim.
So take a look. Basically, I'll give a full prediction. I'll give a full roundup of everything. And then you completely throw out any guess, because it's the championship. And it's based on feeling at some point.
Excellent. So much like the Sunderland prediction, one of us going for a Saints win, one of us going for a draw, one of us going for an opposition win. Same again.
Yeah, at least one of us is going to pick up points. I think anything could really happen in that match. We've got no idea how it's going to go.
Any result is a good result in this game. If even if they draw, take it, run with it. It's Leicester, and it's the best team. It's the best team in the league, or rated potentially the best team in the league. Run with it, and go with it.
I think Leicester are champions, by the way. I'm just saying.
Same here. 100%.
Anyway,
we don't lose by a 5-goal margin
or a 9. Oh, I said it.
Oh, please no.
The only person that went for a Sunderland win was you, Tim. Well done, Tim. I hope you're proud of yourself.
I hate being right.
no change really on the apart from you, Tim, moving up from the bottom to the mid. Tim Brucker still has the lead at the top. So get your Leicester City predictions in. Again, there's no real rush on it. We've got a week off. So yeah, Super Six then. Round three was won by Terry Lubbock, John Sakine, and Lee Davey with 9 points. The overall lead still with Andrew Knight and Stephen Allen on 28 points. Fantasy football then. I've been waiting for this. Very good day for me. When your two starting forwards both get hat-tricks. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. 75 points and counting. Actually, I've got Szoboszlai who's just scored. Well, he scored for Liverpool today, so I think I'm on 83 at the moment. So, Kev, can you beat that?
I've got 73 at the moment and three players still to play. So, if Martinelli and Ketty and Rashford all get hat tricks as well, then I'll be laughing.
Well, I mean, I've got Rashford as well.
All right, if Martinelli and Ketty both score hat tricks against Man United,
Bad. I think you've done all right, haven't you, Tim? Well, you've done all right as well. You're at 64 at the moment, and you've still got Bruno Fernandes.
Everyone's
and
Captain
Rashford
Haaland, right?
I think so. Yeah.
I've got Saka, Rashford, and Fernandes still remaining.
Yeah, and you're on 64 at the moment, so that's good.
He's still kicking bum in our Podders League. And in the big league, I am 70th. Oh, what about you?
I'm 95th. I've moved up.
Okay, no, that's good. I think Tim's slipped down a little bit, but he's still
24th.
You moved down.
24th. Okay, well, so he's still going. Top three. New entrants, Jessica Morris in third, 256 points, Neil Seward on 262, and Aaron Wyszycki on 263. That's quite close, isn't it? So it might change.
Very close, yeah. Gaffer, how's that going?
I got that. Man, Kev, you are just absolutely destroying the league right now. Absolutely destroying. But you and I both took a look at the chances and saw that most of our team were playing at home. So the fun thing about Gaffer is that those power ups, the bonuses, they come in thirds. So you have three chances to do three bonuses that you can do within the first third, second, middle third, and then the final third. So we took advantage of that home advantage one where you get 1.5. points per everybody who's playing at home, and they remove the captain bonus. But Kevin is just absolutely destroying the league with 304 points. So me being in second place at 259, absolutely taken about. But Ray, you need to have props because look at you. You're 1 point behind me, and you've had one less week overall. You have the best team going so far, and at this rate you'll catch Kev by middle of the season
if it keeps going that way. It's good that we're first, second and third in the Championship League.
21 points on the bench though, that's annoying. My choice of keeper and Delap on the bench have cost me an even better potential week.
No, I had Delap, but he was my emergency captain, and stupidly I had Che Adams as my captain. Should have taken him out. Should have realised, but yeah. Begovic scored 9 points, by the way. Yes. Okay. Right, enough of that shit. Right. That is it, I think. But yeah. Next week, as I say, we're off. A chance to forget, take a little breather and purge myself. Now, we'll be back on the 16th to report for that Friday night game against Leicester. Tim will then hit us up with his preview on Ipswich, which is another night game at St Mary's. So until then, keep the faith, don't panic, and up the Saints.
Up the Saints, please.
Up the Saints. Please.
Up the Saints.
Up my Southampton.
Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash. Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say. Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.